Of our message today is Don't Waste Your Days. I think it was Freddie Fender who sang Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. I could sing a little bit of the song for you so you could be reminded of it, but I won't. Someone last service said amen when I said that, and I understand completely. However, Solomon, I mean, that could be the title of the whole book of Ecclesiastes, couldn't it? Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. He has told us over and 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 over again that if we live life for things on this earth, if we live lives only for ourselves, for our own lives, for our own gratitude for just for ourselves, then it is wasted. In the end, it doesn't mean anything. In the end, we're going to realize that our lives have just been vain. Well, now, as we come to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, you guys set a fire alarm already once, didn't you? As we come to the end of Ecclesiastes, we now come to the point where he begins now to get into the positive. This is the way we should live. And we could put it in three different categories. He's going to tell us that we are to be generous, that we are to give to those who are in need. Maybe it would even be better to use the word compassionate rather than generous. God's desire is that we would be compassionate towards those who are struggling, that we would be joyful. That's the second. God wants you and I to live in the joy of the Lord and to enjoy the lives that he's given us. And finally, that we would be godly, and that's what we'll look at next week, is godly living. To be compassionate, to be joyful, and to be godly is to begin to live the life that God wants for us. God has not placed us here just so we can live life for ourselves, but so that we can reach out and touch the lives of those who are in need. It's interesting to me how Jesus related to crowds. The Bible says in the book of Mark, over and over again, by the way, several times, three or four times, the Bible says that Jesus would look at a crowd and his heart would be moved with compassion towards the crowds. You and I generally don't have that kind of a response to a crowd. We look at a crowd of people, whether it's at a football game or whether it's at a church event. You know, if we put on an event, a concert or whatever it is, and a lot of people show up, wow, look at all those people. Isn't this exciting? A lot of people showed up. But Jesus looked at individuals. And he would look out on a crowd and he would see the lonely. He would see the hurting. He would see those who were hopeless. He would see those who were desperate and didn't want to live another moment. And so when Jesus would look at the crowds, the Bible says, he had great compassion on them because he realizes what individual people are going through. And Jesus came that he might make individuals' lives radically different. He didn't just come that he might be able to transform the crowds, but he came that he could work in the lives of individuals. And you and I, who are called Christians, and the word is Christ-like, we should have compassion on the individuals as well. You remember that Jesus told the parable of the sheep and the goat. It's not really a parable. It's a story of the end of the world. When he gathers everyone together and he separates the goats from the sheep, and he finally says to the sheep, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the sheep say to him, Lord, when were you naked and when did we clothe you? When were you in prison and when did we visit you? And when were you hungry and when did we feed you? And Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. In other words, we demonstrate the love that we have for Christ by having compassion on those who are in need. And when we look around us at the world, we can kind of put those that are in need away, we can push them away, or we can say, Lord, I really want to be used by you to make a difference in the life of someone who is suffering. Can you think back to a time in your life when you were struggling? When something had taken place that was just hard, that was difficult? When something had taken place in your life that just put you at the bottom and you needed help from someone, and someone came alongside of you and they helped you out. Do you remember what that was like to have compassion from someone in a time of great need in your life? Well, that's what God wants us to do in the lives of those who are in great need. Did you know that there's more orphans now in the world than there ever have been before? AIDS, especially in Africa, has wiped out generations of people. Can you imagine being a 4-year-old child, a 5-year-old child, not having a mother or a father, being a ward of whatever country that you are in? These children are abused and they are misused. There's plenty in our country as well that have great needs, plenty who are hungry, plenty who need clothing. And the Lord encourages us that we would be used in order to make a difference within their lives. That's where Solomon goes to. Now, before we look at the first 6 verses of chapter 11, which is going to speak to us about being compassionate and how to be compassionate, I want us to look at the last 4 verses of the chapter. Because he reverts back to living for ourselves is vanity. He kind of comes back to make his point by saying that. And he does it in 2 different groups. First of all, he talks to the old, and he says, those of you who are older, you know, your life is vain. And then he goes to the young. Those of you who are young, your life is vain. Your life is nothing. And of course, when you're young, you look at people who are old, and you think, oh, I don't want to ever be old. Life's over then. I have a friend of mine who is in his 50s, and I tease him. I tell him, hey, you know, when you hit your 50s, your life is over anyway. Of course, I'm not that far away from there now myself, so I'll have to revise that to 60s or something here before too long. You remember that there were those who were, you know, in the 60s, the saying, remember, don't trust anybody over 30. And of course, those people now are like 55. So I wonder what they do when they look in the mirror and see themselves now at 55. And of course, older people, I've heard them say, and you have too, you couldn't pay me enough to be 20 again. You ever said that? Now, I don't know. I think they probably could get paid enough in reality. But the truth is, where we thought our thinking was really together and right when we were 20, we realize when we get older it wasn't as together as what we thought it was back then. And that's why you say that. The truth is, well, let's look at what Solomon says about both. He says, truly light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. When we're young, our eyes are good. And you've got to go back to the time before contacts, before glasses, before LASIK surgery to really get a sense of what he's saying here. He's saying, and you know, as you get older, your eyes get worse, right? As soon as you hit 40 years old, all of a sudden you start reading things like this. And now I have people hold things for me. Chris, can you hold that over there so I can read it and actually be able to see what it says? And the older you get, the dimmer your eyes get. You wear glasses, we get adjusted, and we're fine. I love what Chuck Smith says about it. Chuck says that he believes that God has given us dimmer eyes as we get older because we don't look as good as what we used to. And so if we don't wear our glasses, you look in the mirror and you go, yeah, look pretty good. Because you can't see everything that's there. And he said he made a pact with his wife that they would never look at each other with their glasses on. That way they would look as good as they did on the day that they met. Well, Solomon says it's a great thing to see the sun. It's a great thing to be in the light. But if a man lives many years, verse 8, and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. Know that darkness days are coming. You're not going to be able to see anything. For they will be many, just like Solomon. And that is coming to vanity. So you know your life, you're old, it's just going to get worse. And it's going to be vain, dark days. That's ahead of you. Then he turns to the youth. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Enjoy being able to see. But know that for all of these, God will bring you into judgment. All the things you do out there, God's going to judge you. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. So he says, if you're old, the days in front of you are vain. If you're young, the days you're living now are vain. So it all doesn't matter. Now he's doing that as a summary of saying in the beginning of this chapter, we are to live our lives not for ourselves, but for the people who are around us. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it in many days. Now that verse has been greatly misused, hasn't it? If you've been around for a while, if you've been around churches for a while, this verse is used to speak to people about building programs. This verse is used when radio stations want to raise money. It's used when radio programs, television programs want to raise money. Cast your bread upon the water and it will come back to you. New Testament says, give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The New Testament says that if you give to God, he'll give back to you tenfold. And so they're misused in this sense. They'll say, so if you give to me, If you give to our ministry, if you give to our radio station, then God's going to give you back tenfold. Give us $100, he'll owe you $1,000. And the Bible says that God will be a debtor to no man. Give God $1,000, he'll give you $10,000. Give God $10,000, he'll give you $100,000. Give God $100,000 and he'll give you $1,000,000. So start off today with $1. When you get 10, then give him the 10. When you get 100, give him the 100. When you get it, you know, and so on and so forth. And they appeal to people's greed with passages that were never meant to appeal to people's greed. If there is a bad motive to give, it is that you can get rich. All right, I'm going to give, but I'm going to expect God to, you know, make me rich now, because that's what he said. Cast your bread upon the water and it will come back to you. Well, bread, we obviously know what that is. That's what sustains people. When he uses the term bread here, he doesn't use it like people used to use the term in the 60s. Hey, man, give me some bread, would you? And of course, what did they mean? They meant money. And that's how people use this. He uses the term bread because he's speaking about feeding people who are in need. That's why he uses the term bread. Cast your bread upon the waters. In the scriptures, the waters are an analogy of what? When the word waters is used, what is it speaking of? Humanity, people. In this sense, by the way, and you're right, that Jesus talked about water in our lives being life, but oftentimes waters were speaking of the waters of humanity. So when he says, cast your bread upon the water, he's saying, cast your bread out on humanity. People who are in need, people who are hungry. You might say, I don't make enough money to cast my bread out upon humanity. It wouldn't make a difference. It'd be like a drop of water in an ocean for me to be able to make a difference. And so he says in verse 2, give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. He says, you might not be able to help out all of humanity, but you can help out 7 or 8. Now, is this 7 or 8 people at a time? Is it 7 or 8 people throughout a lifetime? I don't know. I don't know exactly what God was speaking of when he wrote that, but it really was that we would look for opportunities to help people who are in need. I'm not going to be able to help all of humanity that struggles, but I'll be able to have compassion on somebody who's at the very bottom. I'll be able to reach out and bless somebody who's in need. I'll be able to put food in somebody's stomach who is hungry. I'll be able to come alongside of some orphan somewhere and help that orphan out with schooling or with clothes in some way and in some type. And that's what he's saying. He says in verse 3, if clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Hey, look, when the clouds get full of water, what does it do? Pours itself down upon the earth. And if God has filled your clouds with water, if God has blessed you with money, if God has given you a lot of bread, groovy man, then it's so that it can be poured out upon the earth. Now, I want to get as practical as I can here now, because you and I prepare for our futures. And I think there's some wisdom in preparing for our futures. We want to put money into savings. We want to use a Roth IRA. We want to use a 403 or a 502 or a 678 or whatever they are in order to help provide for our futures. And it's part of God giving us provision today. But remember that Jesus said, don't stack up treasures here on this earth where moth can come in and destroy and where rust destroys, because where your treasure is, there your heart is. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a 403B? I mean, I joke about that, but I really don't know what it is. 501K or is it a 403? 401K and a whatever. Okay, so it's all at a different time. I couldn't understand it. There's nothing wrong with putting it in there, but if our goal is to put it in there so that as we retire, we become wealthy, then all of a sudden it becomes something. If our money is all being poured in there, and they tell us that's what financial advisors tell us. Financial advisors are going to be mad at me. I'll probably get some letters from people who will say, well, you're really wrong because, you know, when you hit 50, you've got to put as much money as you can because you never know what's going to be. But that's my point. You never know what's going to be. You don't know if you put all the money in there you can possibly put in there that it's going to be enough. And so the end, you have to trust in God. And God has not filled your clouds with rain just so you can take care of yourself. God has filled your clouds with rain so that you can have compassion upon the needy, so that you can be a channel to reach out and help them. And I'm not saying that you use all of your money for that. I'm not saying that you can't go out and buy things that you are blessed with. I'm saying there needs to be in our lives that move where we are like those sheep, where we are looking to clothe those who are naked and to feed those who are hungry. Now, you might be saying, well, you know, if and they say that between 50 and 65 are your greatest earning years. That's the greatest earning power that you have. Some of you guys may say, well, that's true with me. And some of you guys may say, if that's the greatest earning power, then my life's pretty sorry because I'm not earning very much. Some of you might say, hey, look, I don't have clouds full of water. I don't have a cloud in my sky. I can barely make ends meet. But that doesn't mean that we don't give. That doesn't mean that we're not generous. See, God didn't give us those verses that I spoke of earlier. Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, give and God will give you back tenfold. And the verse that we have here, cast your bread upon the water. He didn't give you those verses to appeal to your greed. He gave those verses to us to appeal to our generosity. That we would know it's okay to give. Because God will take care of you. You can cast your bread upon the water because it's going to come back to you. You can give because God's going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can give because God will give back to you tenfold. God's going to take care of you. That's the idea. It wasn't to appeal to the greed of people to get rich. It was to appeal to our hearts that my ultimate trust is in God, and God is the one who is taking care of me. You remember that Jesus watched the wealthy putting money into what was the equivalent to the agape box in the temple, into the treasury. The rich came up and they put their money in, and finally a widow came by and all she had was 2 cents. It was everything she had to her name. She dropped in that 2 cents. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this woman has given more than the rest of them because she gave out of her need and they all gave out of their prosperity. So see, the message of giving is not only to those of you here who have clouds full of rain. Certainly it is, because that's why God's given it to you, that it would be able to be poured out upon people who are in need. Certainly to take care of your needs as well, but also to be generous and to help people who are struggling, because that's what Christians do. But if you don't have clouds and you're just struggling along, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to be generous. Let's say that today after this message, you decide, you know what, we need to give to the Benevolence Fund. And there's somebody here that gives $10,000 to the Benevolence Fund. They've got a lot more money than that, but that's what they give. It's good. It's great to do that. Then there's somebody here that has $10. It's all they have. And they say, you know what, I want to give five. I don't know that it's going to help very much, but I'm going to give it. Well, from a human perspective, the people that take care of our Benevolence Fund, when they see the check for $10,000, they're going to get excited. Why? Because it's a human perspective. They're going to go, wow, we're going to be able to help out some more people, right? They're going to go, this is exciting. Look, $10,000, that's going to really help. They're going to get the $5. They're just going to open it up and kind of put it down. They're not going to go, wow, $5, that's great. They're just going to move it over and put it in the rest of the money to be counted in the end and to know how much came in to the Benevolence Fund this week. But God doesn't look at it that way. God will look at the $5 as being more than the $10,000, because the person that gave the $5 gave a greater sacrifice. Listen, never will you be able to sacrifice for God as much as when you're struggling financially. Have you ever thought about it that way? That woman had an opportunity to give everything she had because all she had was 2 cents. You today may be really struggling. You may say, that's me. I've just got 2 cents. To give it. When else will you have an opportunity to be able to give everything that you've got? To say, hey, here it is, God. You've got an opportunity to be able to say to the Lord, I trust you. And I want to be able to minister to people. Now look at what he goes on to say here. He talks about opportunity. Because some of us say, well, I will give when the right opportunity comes along. Well, listen to what he says. He says in verse 3 again, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it shall lie. We've got to be able to take care of the needs of people that are struggling when the opportunity arises. Wherever the tree falls, that's where the tree fell. We can't go around looking for the perfect spot. That's what he's saying. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. He's saying the person who's looking for the right perfect wind to plant doesn't sow at all. The person who's looking for the right clouds to harvest doesn't harvest at all. You got to harvest when it's harvest time. You gotta sow when it's the time to sow the seed. And you do it regardless of what the weather is like. You do it whether it's perfect conditions or not. You don't know what kind of a harvest is going to come in. Sometimes it's a good harvest, and sometimes it's a bad harvest. When the opportunity arises for us to be able to reach out and minister to people, we need to reach out and minister to them. We don't know whether it's really going to be real effective. We don't know whether it's not going to be effective. Maybe it will really reach out and help somebody who's in great need, and maybe they won't be in great need at all. But we reach out and do it. So we see somebody holding up a sign that says, "I will work for food." And you go, "I'm not going to give them money. They can lose 20 more pounds before I give them money." Or, "I'm not going to give them money because if I give them money now, they're going to go out and buy alcohol." And hey, you don't know whether that's the case or not. Maybe they will, but maybe they won't. You don't know which way the wind blows. You don't know the way of a child as it grows in a mother's womb. In other words, he's saying you don't know everything. So rather than trying to find ways out and saying, "I don't have to help this person because of that. Well, they got their, you know, certain problems. They probably put themselves in that situation." When isn't that true? I mean, I know it is true. It's, you know, true certainly for children that find themselves in great need that they didn't do anything to get in the position that they're in. But for adults, I mean, we've all done things. If we all got what we deserved, we'd all be struggling now, wouldn't we? Because we've all made mistakes. He goes on and he says, verse 5, "And you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand." Hey, take the opportunities that you have to be able to be generous towards the people who are in need around you. But you do not know which way will prosper. You don't know what's going to be the most effective. But God's desire is that we would be those who would cast our bread upon the water. Either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You don't know whether one will be prosper and one will not, or God will use both of them to really transform someone's life. But that's not what it's about. It's about us saying, I want to be generous. If there is anyone who is generous, is it not God? Has God not been greatly generous to you? Oh, I'll tell you, in my life, God has been so generous to me. You know, the Bible talks about grace being undeserved favor. God has poured his grace out upon me over the years, and he has been so generous. May we be like our Father who is in heaven and be generous towards those who are struggling and towards those who are in need. May we find those who are in great need, whoever they are, wherever they are, and may we make a difference in their lives. May we come alongside of them. I don't know how this all applies. Now, I want you to notice, we spoke of our benevolence fund today, but I never talked about the church once, because this is not a message about giving to the church. It's a message about being compassionate towards those who are struggling. I told you of the sheep earlier. Well, do you know that the Lord also gathered together the goats? And that he said to the goats, "When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't come to visit me." And they said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and didn't feed you? When did we see you naked and didn't clothe you? When did we see you in prison and didn't come to you?" And he said, "When you didn't do it to the least of these, then you didn't do it unto me." Now, for some of you here, you're generous people. You know, I know that because I know many of you guys. And I know that you're generous. And for you, this message has been a pat on the back from God. Well done. Maybe kind of thing where God says, "Well done, keep it up, son. Keep it up, daughter. Well done. You're doing right. You're on the right path." For some of you, this message has been like that. For some of you, this message is a rebuke. You've been living for yourself. You've been stacking up things for yourself, and you haven't been using anything to find those who are in need. And if I know God, I'm not saying that I know him completely, but if I know God, he's going to give you an opportunity this week. A tree is going to fall down to the north or south right in front of you. And you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to say, "You know, I could take this money and go out to dinner tonight. Or I could help this person out." May we pass the test. May we be compassionate. May God increase our opportunities. May we have more opportunities to build more homes for those who are in need. May we have more opportunities to come alongside of the orphans, the increasing orphans that are around the world, to make a difference in their lives. May we embrace the organizations that have been put together to reach out and make a difference in people's lives who are in great need. May we not respond to what God has said out of greed because we want to be rich and stack up treasures in heaven. Stack up treasures for ourselves to get back. But may we respond because God will take care of us. Cast our bread upon the water, it'll come back to us. Give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken, together, running over. God will take care of you. Let's be generous people. Let's stand before Him as the sheep and say, we did it. Let's all stand too. Sorry.